Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the City Confessions. I am so excited today. I know I say this every single time, but today I'm like super excited because we have Imad Jabara. He is a relationship coach and he used to work for the number one dating company in New York City for coaching, New York City Wing Woman. I'm actually not familiar with them, but he can tell us more about that company. And then he started his own coaching business called The Imperfect Suitor. And yeah, so welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm actually super excited to talk about it.
I'm really excited because one, I clearly haven't had a relationship coach on my podcast. But two, I feel like I'm like secretly getting my consulting call with you. So why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us who you are, what you do, and if you can also sprinkle in a little bit about your relationship with New York City.
Okay. This is going to be interesting. as you just introduced me, I am a relationship coach. I've been a relationship coach for the past 5 years. And what's funny about it is I actually started relationship coaching as a joke, all right? And that's like, well, a lot of people don't know. It started off as a joke and then it actually became serious. So in high school, I like to think that I thought I was good with the ladies. I really did, but I really wasn't. I used to play soccer and I was the soccer team captain. So at the time, I got like girls because I had like status in high school. And then as soon as I graduated, I was getting rejected left and right. I was like, wait a minute, hold up. I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm not funny. So my jokes aren't landing. And I was like, okay, this was a good reality check. And then like one day I'm just sitting in the kitchen eating my Nutella. And I hear an ad on Pandora. All right. This ad goes up and it says, hey, this guy is this expert with women. He can talk to any woman. He can do this. He can do that. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to it. And I'm like, all right, this is just a stupid Pandora ad. I'm not going to take it seriously. Whatever. All right. And then I hear that Pandora ad 6 more times that day. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll read one page of his book. Just one. And then that one page ended up being 2 pages. That 2 pages ended up being 5. And then before I knew it, I read the whole book. And I was like, oh my God, I learned so much. And then I caught myself going into, when I went to college, I was using the techniques that I learned, just kind of the confidence building strategies, and I was just talking to the most attractive woman on campus. And my friends would ask me, like, hey man, how are you doing this? What's your secret? And I wasn't gonna tell them that I read a book on how to talk to women. I was too ashamed, I was embarrassed. I was like, you know what? Come to the common room and bring $5 and I'll teach you. As a joke. Completely as a joke. And people actually came and brought money and I was like, oh, this is really happening. And then it just slowly but surely kept on building up. And that's, in short, that's kind of how my relationship coaching started. And then as I went through college, I would do it from time to time. And then they introduced me to their actual, like the people that their engineering friends outside of work, their lawyer friends. And I was actually starting to work with professionals. Like these men were actually starting to make changes in their lives. And then when I came to New York, I left it for a while. And then I came to New York for different reasons, which I'll get into later on in the podcast. But then the life just kind of pulled me back in, and I met the owner of the NYC Woman Company, Cher Gottman, and we just kind of clicked. And she was like, hey, listen, I'm looking for a relationship coach. And from there, that's when my coaching really kind of became serious. And it became like, all right, this is really what I'm here to do. And I don't know, it became a passion, you know? And that's a gist of how I became a relationship coach. And then New York City, again, it's one of the cities, as you know, is very unpredictable. This is the city we live in. you know.
Okay, so I have to ask off the bat, I know that you were pretty much, maybe I guess you can say inspired, correct me if I'm wrong, by that ad or whoever, whatever book that was that you read. How were you able to take what you learned, but then also come up with your own methods? So, considering that you're still relatively young, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm not saying that in order for you to be a successful relationship coach, you need to have years of experience, but I'm just curious to know, how did you find your own rhythm in this field?
So the truth of it is, what I initially learned when I was younger was actually a very, very not good way to approach women. All right. So basically, what a lot of people might know this, and a lot of people might not know this, is during, I think, the early 2000s and like 2010, around that time, there was this thing called pickup artists. All right. So it was like these guys that would like learn these methods and manipulation tactics, and they would seduce women with just these things that weren't great. You know, it was coming from a very, very insecure place, you know. And that's how I originally started. And I realized that when I was like winning over these women, I would the foundation was crap. It wasn't strong. So basically it was based on insecurities, it was based on like jokes and teasing, but then there was no substance. And I would see that over and over again, that I would be really good at attracting the woman, but I wouldn't be good at keeping them. And I realized that there was a flaw in the system. And that's when I kind of took a step back and I'm like, all right, I have to look at this from a different perspective. All right. What I'm doing right now is I'm faking it. You fake it till you make it. But at the same time, you don't have the tools to actually make it. You're learning. It's like you have a really, really crappy foundation. And now you don't have the security within yourself. You don't have the courage to face obstacles the way you would have faced them if you genuinely had the confidence. And you're running away from your problems. And once I took a step back and I started working on my mindset, I realized that if you work on your mindset before you learn the techniques and tools and whatever, the chances of your success exponentially increase. And right. That was kind of the plot twist, where it's like I started reading more books on kind of growth, self-development, and kind of like what it truly means to be like a man, and like to have purpose and to follow your purpose and actually do things that truly make you attractive, instead of just the facade of this exciting man that is exciting for the next 20 minutes, but doesn't have anything to show for it in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I totally agree. I mean, just to give you a little bit of background, I feel like I've learned so much about relationships and dating, you know, just going through my own relationships, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I have this mindset, and I'm curious to know if you agree with, I feel like a lot of people don't really know what they want in a relationship. And I feel like they think that another person is supposed to make them happy and complete them. But I always say you have to be 100% satisfied and happy with who you are. Know who you are before going into a relationship. And you should never really have the idea that somebody else will make you happy, because you should just make yourself happy, right? And I feel like when you meet somebody, you should, I guess, reframe that statement to say, I'm happy with you, or I feel happy when I'm with you, but never you make me happy. I don't know if that's just like a bit, if that's just my own thoughts. And I always feel like the other person doesn't complete you, but they, I guess, elevate you and compliment you. But I feel like once people switch that mindset, they're able to just feel much more secure about who they are before entering a relationship. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I completely agree. I look at relationships like this, all right? Two individuals having fun and having and living their best life, and then coming together and living their best life together. Mm-hmm. That is it. So, and what people... society has created this really dumb notion of like, oh, you complete me, or you need this person to be my second half or my soul. That's all bullshit. I don't know if I can swear. Sorry about that. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
But that's complete BS, because it creates this idea where it's like you need this individual to survive. You need this individual to fulfill your happiness. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. A relationship, like you said, has to be two individuals that are whole coming together on this one journey. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was this interesting thing that I read a couple of years back, and this just stuck with me forever. It was by this book called The Seven Levels of Intimacy, written by Matthew Kelly. And he talked about four levels of intimacy. All right. So there are four levels of intimacy that dictate the foundation of a relationship. So you have the physical intimacy, you have emotional intimacy, you have intellectual intimacy, and you have spiritual intimacy. All right. Mm-hmm. So the physical is based on obviously physical. Like it's shallow. The foundation is crap. It's like, you think I'm attractive, I think you're attractive. We might meet up, we might hook up, whatever. But at the same time, our relationship is based on the fact that we are just attracted to what the person has. You know, either money, looks, whatever. All right. With that, that's a majority of relationships nowadays. Like that's about 90% of relationships now, where it's like people don't really get to know each other. There is no depth. So the foundation is very crap for the physical. Then you have the emotional. Emotional is a little bit deeper, but it's also still not as deep as you think it would be. So emotional is based on common goals and common interests. So for instance, let's say I'm going on a date with somebody that I'm interested in. I like soccer. She likes soccer. I like law. She likes law. And now we base our whole entire relationship on the fact that we both like law and soccer. All right. While that's great and that is a common goal and common interest, we change as human beings every single day, every single month. And in 3 months, I might hate soccer and she might hate law. And now the things that we based our foundation on aren't holding us anymore because it was never anything else other than that. A goal could also be having a kid. You know, you'll notice a lot of families, as soon as their kids go to college, they get divorced because in their head, their only goal was to get their kid to go to college or have a child, have a family. And then once the kid's gone, then they're like, all right, well, our job's done. I don't know if I want to be with you. And okay, cool. It's been real. I got to go. So, and that happens a lot because again, it was an emotional, intimate relationship where it's like they just based their foundation on a common goal. And then you have intellectual. Intellectual is a little more deeper, but it's also more codependent. So it's kind of like the student-professor dynamic. All right, so it's like one individual is teaching the other person and the other person is learning from the other person. So the person that's teaching gets validation because they're getting validated by the person that's learning, and the person that's learning is getting substance by the fact that they're learning from the teacher. Do you see what I mean? So it becomes mm-hmm. very, very dependent on each other. And now, in a sense, it becomes very toxic because now it's the you fill me, he fills me, she fills me. And now it's not two holes. And then at the end of it all, you get spiritual. All right. Spiritual intimacy is where every relationship needs to be. In my opinion, the purpose of life is to be the best version of yourself. Every day you got to improve. And if you're not improving every day, you're dying, in my opinion. So if your goal is to be the best version of yourself, that is a lifetime goal. It will never end. In spiritual intimacy, the goal, the purpose of each partner's role is to help the other person become the best version of themselves. It's like, I'm helping you on your journey, you're helping me on my journey, and we are growing together. And if we make that the foundation of our relationship, we have a long-lasting relationship full of growth, trust, and whatever, happiness. But it will stay with us till death, you know? And that is where people need to strive to be, all right? Relationships aren't about just the excitement. It's about the fulfillment that comes with the work that's put into it. It's the effort. It's the commitment. It's the you know what I mean. It's so much deeper.
No, I love everything you said. I was just like soaking everything in because for me, it's not new information, but hearing it and hearing the breakdown, I'm like reminded of just how relevant that is in our dating world, I guess, but also how lacking it is. I think when people don't hear others just be clear and blunt about it, they forget it, you know? But I have so many questions. I don't even know where to start. Okay. So I have a friend who is very much so into this whole coaching and like dating. And I guess the best way to put it is that when she approaches dating, she has a strategy. She's very, very strategic in terms of how she presents herself, how she answers some questions, how, you know, and she'll tell me these like rules to dating, essentially. And for the most part, I totally understand what she is saying, but there are times when I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, that is too much for me to subscribe to, right? Like, I just want to go into a date being myself. And sometimes, I mean, I go back and forth. Like, I think, okay, well, if he doesn't like, you know, my answer, if he didn't like how I did this or that, he's not the one for me, you know? But then she, I guess, challenges me in the sense saying, well, no, you have to go into it. Just like, she's very particular, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I guess my question is, how do you balance being strategic going into dates, but then also wanting to be yourself and authentic and go with the flow?
I love the fact that you asked that question. It makes me so happy because this is a question I get
all the time.
So it's not about being yourself. It's about being the best version of yourself. That's the place where people kind of get mixed up, where it's like, oh, I want to be myself. I want to tell him the things that I like doing, the secrets that I have. No. If you like picking your nose, don't tell him on the first day that you like picking your nose. Please. I know that's being yourself, and that will come a time, I promise. But it's not right now, you know? So in a sense, I do agree with her in terms of being strategic, but at the same time, there is also a balance, because you don't want it to be, you don't want to be a robot on the date. It's not mechanical. It's a date. You have to let it flow. But there are some guidelines to follow in terms of going on a date. So, for instance, my definition of attraction, this is the way to build attraction, is based on two things, all right? It's based on excitement and tension, all right? As human beings, we are drawn to things that we don't know. We are drawn to things that are still a mystery. So, for instance, me and you are going on a date right now, all right? We are talking, we're having fun, and I tell you my whole entire life story. How do you feel?
Overwhelmed.
That's one.
I don't know how to take it. I feel like it's too much too soon. Then I probably will like not get bored. But actually, this has happened to me. I had this one guy literally tell me his whole life story, and I just felt like, again, I felt like I was like a therapist, and I knew, yeah, I know where you're going. You're saying that there's like that excitement is like kind of over. Because I'm like, all right, I know everything about you in the course of getting to know you in through a month. I got to know you in like one date.
Exactly. So now imagine we're on the same date, and instead of giving you my life story, I tell you three things about myself. Maybe four.
Oh my God, I know. I hate that too. Oh, wait.
But hold up. And I tell you, I'm like, oh, well, I feel like I don't know anything about you. Well, how about you go on a second date and you'll find out more?
Okay, right. I thought you meant like the people who like don't say anything at all. And it's like it's like pulling teeth. Like, it's so awkward. And I'm just like, oh my God, I don't even know how to, like, okay, the weather. It's beautiful.
Yeah, no weather, please. None of the weather.
Yeah.
But those three things have substance. All right. There are three things that you can add on. For instance, like I said, maybe one of your favorite hobbies. Work. If your work is fun, talk about your work. Only if it's fun and you're passionate about it. Or things, or like places you want to be and visit and adventures you want to explore. Those are three things you can talk about. And we can, like right now, if we were talking about our adventures, we can spend a whole 2 hours talking about the adventures we've been on. Uh-huh. And we can make it fun and we can make it exciting. Play games. You can play games on a date. You don't need to. Like, people are so constructed by the idea of society of like, oh, go to the movies, go to like... dinner. Go. I think dinner is one of the worst first dates you can go on.
Oh my God, 100%. Yeah. Because
it builds, there's a table in front of you, and it builds this kind of obstacle. On dates, you need to have physical touch. Physical touch creates intimacy. It creates attraction. And when I say physical touch, I don't mean groping each other. I mean just like a tap on the shoulder. You know, I mean like a subtle, gentle tap, and just feeling like the closeness, the connection, you know? And they sound like they're common sense, but they're not. People don't know these little skills, and they don't. And that's why I feel like your friend, if she understands this to a point where it's like she's strategically doing these things, I think it helps her dating. But if she's just only waiting for him to react, and she's reacting on his reaction, and she's not allowing herself to be in the moment, I think that kills her dating. So it's a balance of being strategic, but also allowing things to play out the way they're supposed to play out.
Right. No, I mean, I agree. Well, first two things. So I study psychology and I know that they did say physical touch is great and how you would want to be in a date, at least for the first one, have some type of like adrenaline. So like actually going on like a roller coaster with somebody is like 10 times better than going on like a movie date with that person as your first date. So it's really interesting that, that study kind of pointed out. And then going back to what you were saying, yeah, I always tell people too that I want to show up the best version of myself. And anytime my energy is off, like I'm also like a woman of my words and I love to commit, but I think it's important to also honor where you're at that time, because I have canceled not first dates, like dates afterwards, because I wasn't at the right mindset and I would never want to show up not being again the best version of myself, because I would be doing a disservice to both of us. So I'm sure you've heard of the love languages. Do you, how do you feel about that? Do you think it's good to talk about that in a relationship? Because I know that the whole gist of that was I forgot who the author was, but he was saying that a successful relationship really is on one, communication, but understanding each other's love language. And oftentimes, when you understand that other person's love language, whether or not it's the same as yours, once you give the love that they want to receive, they are often more happier than not receiving that. So, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's bullshit? Do you think it's great? Tell me.
Okay, this is gonna be interesting. All right, so I'm happy that you studied psychology, because I studied psychology as well in college. So I think this is awesome. So my background in terms of how I look at relationships, I look at relationships from a cognitive behavioral therapy standpoint and a neurolinguistic programming standpoint. All right, so I dissect the traumas that happened in the person's previous in the person's relationship or their relationship with their family. And that gives me the answer in terms of how successful they will be in relationships. But based on like the studies and the research that I've done, I've come to realize that the success of a relationship, in my opinion, is based on the amount of time it takes for you guys to discuss an issue that arose. If
Like
it
a
takes
issue from each other's life, or like an issue that they're facing
No,
together.
exactly. So, for instance, we get in a fight. All right. If it takes us 3 days to talk about that fight, that relationship is destined for failure. But if it takes us maybe like a couple of hours, and again, I'm not saying you have to just jump in and fix this all. Hey, take 5 minutes to each other, or take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. Take time to breathe. Relax. All right. Don't say anything you're going to regret, and then come back and talk about the issue at hand. Do you see what I mean? And I think the love languages are important, but I think what's more important is the attachment styles. A lot of people don't realize their attachment styles growing up. And once you can figure out your attachment styles, then adding on the love languages makes it even more powerful. Do you see what I mean? It's like getting to the root cause of the situation before, because love language is great in theory. Again, like I said, if you like gifts, awesome. Gifts are amazing, but gifts aren't gonna help you fix your trauma in the past. They aren't gonna help you heal. And no matter what, those are still barriers that are going to come in our relationship. And if you can't get over those barriers, we can't have a successful, healthy, happy relationship. I don't know if that answered the question.
No, it's so great. Like, I love it. I'm just like, every time you talk, I'm like, yes, now I understand why you are a coach. Okay, so what is the number one issue or theme you hear in your clients in relationships?
So in but in what sense? Because I work with men, women, and I work in with couples. Like you, what do you what is
Okay, for let's talk about like single people who have trouble looking for love. Is there like what is the number one issue you see in your clients, in the sense of, wow, everybody doesn't understand X, Y, and Z? Or what is the number one theme that you hear, whether it's like, oh, I don't know. You know what it is? In New York, there's so many successful people. And a lot of times when you look at people, sometimes they say like, oh my God, I don't know why you're single. Or like, do you hear that a lot? Like, oh, I'm successful, I do this and that, but I'm still single. Obviously, that's where they probably come to you. So, yes, just let's just unpack that whole scenario.
So do you want to dabble in some controversy?
Sure. Yes.
You want to make it exciting?
Let's do it. Okay. Yeah.
So, would you consider yourself I've researched before I got on. You're a very successful individual. So, would you consider yourself a high achieving woman?
Yeah.
Awesome. So now, if people come to you and say, "Hey, I don't know why you're single," what is your usual response?
But I say that I choose to be single.
Okay, I respect that. So the thing that I've realized, and so a lot of my female clients are very, very, very successful. And mm-hmm. and it's interesting because I'm glad you brought this up, because now this is something that we can talk about for the world. They come to me, they tell me, well, why doesn't this man want to be with me? Or like, he kind of gets intimidated by me, or I just mm-hmm. am too much for a man. And I tell them, I'm like, see, it's not that they're intimidated by your success. They're intimidated by the fact that you don't need them. All right. In a relationship, a lot of, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but most high achieving women, it's like, they're so independent. They've done it all on their own. They've never had a man. They've never had anybody tell them what to do. They've been like, listen, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I'm good. I'm successful. And in doing so, that is a trauma, because now it's coming from a place of fear, where it's like, I am afraid to be vulnerable with someone else and let them into my life. And this is on a really deep psychological level. So in a sense, the fact that they don't need the man triggers a defense mechanism inside of him saying, hey, well, if you don't need anything from me, then why am I here? A man's biological need, a man's biological design is to protect and provide, biologically speaking. Like, not even like, you know what I mean, gender roles, not none of that. It's just biologically speaking, a man is on this planet to provide and protect. That is it. So if you're providing for yourself and you don't need his protection, what's the relationship? What's the point of the relationship? A relationship has to be something that both of us add value into. You know, I'm giving you something, you're giving me something. Whether that be my companionship, whether that be my love, whether that be my support, whether that be my security, I want to give you something. I want to feel like I am giving you. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm just taking away from you. When I feel like I'm taking away from you, I get emasculated. I feel like I lose a sense of purpose in this relationship, and I feel like I'm not good enough to be with you because I can't provide anything.
So how would you either reframe that answer or approach? Because, I mean, I do agree. I think I am very independent. And it's funny, because when you said that, I was like, oh, that's something that I think I would say. Like, I don't need a man. I'm not saying that in a sense of, you know, I wouldn't want somebody to provide and protect. But I just also want to, like, stand my ground to say that if I decide to be in a relationship or if I decide to, you know, have a man, it's also my choice. Like, I don't want to be so dependent.
Yeah.
On a guy. You know,
I support that. No, I completely, like I said, I don't want you to be dependent on a guy. I mm-hmm. don't at all. If you're dependent on a guy, that will put you in harm's way if the relationship doesn't work out. I am against that. What I do want you, what I do want the woman, the high achieving woman to know, to like realize is the fact is you don't need to be dependent on him, but you need to give him a reason to feel like he is still adding value into your life. You know what I mean? Anything. What, like, something, and you guys can decide what each, and that's why communication is so powerful, because it's like, all right, we're both going into this relationship. What do I bring into this relationship? What do you bring? Let's discuss it. Let's talk about it. Let's have open communication. Do you see what I mean? There is no shape, way, or form trying, this is like a way to like leave women vulnerable. Of course not. I think it's awesome that she can handle her own and she can do everything on her own. But I also want to feel like, hey, like, I'm bringing you some sort of joy. I'm like making you some happy, right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Not just for work.
Mm-hmm. So I know you said a lot about, you know, I think with relationships, first of all, I think, so I'm single. I've been in the dating game for a while. I've learned a lot about myself going into it, a lot about what I want, what I don't want. And I feel like when I go on dates, I guess you can say, I have realized that, and again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like finding the like a good person is so hard. So I'm like a hopeless romantic. When I was growing up as a child, I used to think it was so easy. I was like, oh my God, when I grow up, I'm just gonna find a man and everything's just gonna line up. And I remember watching some episodes of The Bachelor. This was when they were airing on ABC. I was like really young, and these women and like men were super old to me, and I never understood the concept. I was like, why are people going on a television show to find love? You know, they're like 30 something, they're successful, and I could not understand it. And now, now that I'm in that phase, I was like, oh my God, I get it. It is rare. And I think when people find love, it's such a beautiful thing, because like what you were saying, not only are you guys like two people have to be attracted to each other physically, but they need to have the same values. They need to want the same things in life. But most importantly, I feel like timing is such a huge part as well, because I think I have met people in my life where it just wasn't the right timing. And I thought to myself, had I met you later in my life, this would totally work out. So like, honestly, all the stars need to align. And I'm just becoming, not that I'm, you know, losing hope or faith in it, but I just feel like it's rare. And bringing it back to New York City, there are so many people, and we could talk about like dating apps as well. I read this article that having so many options is why there's like failures in relationships.
Yes.
Because so, right, people think, okay, whatever, like maybe this isn't working out, and it could be, you could improve on it, there is potential, but people just you know, like leave. They're like, you know what is that? There's like an analogy saying that, you know, if there's like a light that's being broken in an apartment, you can totally fix it, just get a new light bulb, you know. But people are like, no, I'm moving out. So yes, like, how do you feel about that? Do you think, I mean, I know love isn't easy, but like, what are, I don't know, your tips to finding love?
so it's interesting to say that, and that's extremely correct, or extremely right, or accurate, or whatever you want. The more options is worse. All right, so
yeah,
we live in a generation of instant gratification. All right, mm-hmm. I can, he, she, we can all get laid tonight by just swiping right. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the generation we live in. So in a sense, you have immediate solutions for your problems. That is the main issue to why a lot of people are not succeeding in jobs, careers, not succeeding in relationships, because they never take the time to actually develop their skills in that specific field, or they never actually take the time to work on their relationship enough to get it to the next level. In life, you're gonna hit ups and downs. No matter what, no matter how great something is, it's gonna go down to shit. And no matter how shitty it is, it's always gonna go right back up. No matter what, the only constant in this world is change. And a lot of people are starting to forget that. They're starting to feel like if something is like this, it's gonna stay like this forever. And like you said to yourself about the whole The Bachelor and why people are going there to find love. Mm-hmm. And again, when you're younger, and this is another interesting thing, is teenagers are better at falling in love than adults.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why they're better at falling in love with adults?
Tell me.
It's because, I love that. That was good. it felt good with the moment. So I was like, all right, cool. Thank you. But the reason why they're so good at falling in love with falling in love is because they jump into something and every single second of it is spontaneous. Yeah. It's exciting. They don't have everything planned. They don't have to be at work. They don't have to get the their groceries. They don't have to go pay the bills. They don't have to do any of that. It's just they're living in the moment with each other, and they can talk on the phone for hours, 4 hours, 3 hours, and it's mm-hmm. just, and it's always, there's always something to talk about. There's always new excitement. There's always something happening. And I feel like a lot of relationships nowadays are losing that. That's it. We're together. We're married. All right. That's just how it is. What do you mean? Go back to being teenagers. Go back to being excited. Go back to being excited to each other's voices. Go back to having fun with each other. Go back to doing the things that made you fall in love from the beginning. And I feel like because of the instant gratification aspect, it's like, all right, things are great, but if something goes wrong, don't worry, I can find somebody else and build it with. That's like you starting a video game or starting a game and starting from level 1 and then getting to like level 20 and then realizing that it's like, oh, well, I can't beat this boss. So I got to start another video game and get to another like level 20 or level 30. You know, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, it's it's such a toxic way to look at life. And again, it's not our fault. It's the way we've been conditioned. You have media, you have Instagram, you have social media, you have just television, you have the idols that we look up to, the celebrities telling us that this is right. Like, oh, sleeping with a lot of women and getting money is what we want. Or like, or if a woman sleeps with multiple men, she's a hoe. Or it's like, these are just constructs from society. You're living your life based on what somebody else tells you to do, because you're afraid that if you don't, you'll be shunned from society. Nobody will talk to you. But when in reality, to get away from society is actually what allows you to be your true self. And it allows you to actually live the life that you want, have the healthy relationship that you want, where you're not afraid of judgment, where you're not afraid of somebody telling you something and it immediately changes your whole perception of the person you're with. You know, it comes from a place of security and not a place of insecurity and validation from the external world. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, I love hearing that, especially bringing it back to like the whole kid and like teenager love. I feel like, yeah, back then I would always meet people in New York City, like just naturally because it's such a social setting. But I think when you grow older, there are so many, not even insecurities, because I have no problem approaching men, to be honest, but I feel like there are certain factors that you need to consider, you know, like, are they available? Because I'm not trying to, you know, like be involved with anybody who's in a relationship already. Are they straight? Are they even interested in women? Like, there are so many other, do they have kids? You know, have they, like, how many baby mamas do they have? Like, there are so many things that I never consider when I was 18, 19, even like 20. And I think now it's like there's so many questions that you want to ask. And yeah, it becomes so much more serious, you know, than just going with just having fun. But no, those are all great. And I feel like I could talk to you forever. But I do want to just shift gears a little bit on this podcast and talk about you and not necessarily with dating.
Okay.
So yes, the transition is what keeps you up at night. And I know that we are going through a pandemic still, even though I don't really feel like it because New York is doing really well. But just in your life right now, and of course, share whatever you're comfortable with. This can be personally, professionally, just what is stressing you out? Because I don't think a lot of us take time to decompress. Well, maybe you will because you're very spiritual. And I feel like, you know, my listeners probably are like, oh my God, this guy sounds so confident. He sounds like he has his shit together, but let's be real. We all have things that we can work on and we all are human beings. So yeah, like what's on your mind?
So, what's interesting is, this is great. So one of the major reasons why I left my other dating company was because I kind of like developed this new method of how to approach dating. And like I told you before, with the cognitive behavioral therapy and the linguistic programming. And I realized how much success it was doing for my clients, but I wasn't implementing it in my own life. You know, and yet that method, again, that's, and I didn't mention this, but I don't know, but like that method is the one, that method got me mentioned in WikiHow, Fox News, LA Wire, CNN. Like I got published everywhere for the method that I was working on with these like clients because it was so successful. So when I did it, I realized, I'm like, you know what? I am living a lie. I'm telling all these people I have all the answers, but I don't implement them to myself. And I realized that I always had three big insecurities. I had insecurities when it came to money. I had insecurities when it came to relationships, and I had insecurities when it came to friendships. All right, and friendships, you know, I mean, like different. And the reason for that is because I never had my parents. I love my parents to death, and again, they're amazing. But at the same time, they never instilled in me the the values to really tackle those challenges head on. So when COVID hit, in the beginning, it's like I felt like I was getting to a point where I was getting more successful and I was getting more financially stable and everything was great. But at the same time, I felt like as soon as COVID hit, I started regressing. And because I never actually handled those problems the right way. So I took March, April, and May, and I just locked myself in my apartment. And I did not talk to anybody, and I just focused on my coaching. And I learned everything I can learn. And I just isolated myself from friends, isolated myself from relationships, isolated myself from everything because I needed to learn to love myself, whether I liked it or not. And I was willing to take the pain. I had to embrace it. And that the reason I did that is because 2 years ago, I don't know if you've heard about this. Have you heard of Vipassana? Mm-mm. Vipassana is like a meditation retreat. And I went on a 10-day meditation retreat, and I was in the middle of nowhere, and I was isolated for 10 days. I couldn't talk, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't exercise, I couldn't do anything. All I did was meditate for 15 hours a day and just really discover myself. And that was by far the hardest thing I have ever had to do in my entire life. So I saw that and I was like, all right, let me take it up a notch. And I did that to myself for the next 3 months. And I was like, I need to heal. And I need to go through as much pain as possible in order to heal. And then when I came out of that like 3 month gap or whatever, everything changed. Because at the same time, I started realizing that I have all the validation inside of me. Like right now, whether my coach career blows up and becomes something or it doesn't, I don't care. I'm good. I am happy. I am chilling. I am blessed. I am grateful for everything I have around me. And it took me going through that pain and realizing that people's opinions don't matter. My validation from the outside world doesn't matter. It took all that for me to actually kind of understand what I'm teaching my clients now. And it was hard. I'm going to tell you this right now. This year has by far been one of the hardest years of my entire life. Only in terms of like my spiritual growth, in terms of my mental growth, in terms of just kind of ripping band-aids and forcing them off, whether I liked it or not. It's like, listen, you got to make these changes. The person you're meant to be, your purpose, the only way you can actually do it is by overcoming your insecurities and overcoming the obstacles that are holding you back, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm really into meditating as well. I mean, I don't know if I don't want to say I don't like, if I can do that, I bet you that it would have been difficult because 15 hours, 10 days, that seems like a lot. It seems like, as you mentioned, that was one of the most challenging moments of your life. But on the flip side, I guess, looking back at everything, when have you felt the most proud?
Oh, these past 3 months, 2 months right now are, in mm-hmm. my opinion, the best months of my entire life. And again, there is nothing different in terms of look, cool, I got published in a bunch of articles and a bunch of media, woohoo, I'm getting paid for my clients, woohoo, again, none of it matters. It's all irrelevant. I couldn't care less about it. What I'm realizing is I'm just happy with myself. I could look myself in the mirror and be like, yo, you're kind of a badass. High five. Mm-hmm. And I think that within itself for me is just like, I'm starting a path of a good place. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It's weird. It's a weird feeling that you just wake up and you just smile, you know, because it's like you realize that nothing matters. And as long as you're just every day, it's funny because I do this thing every day and I do this. It's like a 7 mile walk. All right. I do a 7 mile walk every single day. And on that walk, I go to the harbor next to New York City because I actually live in New Jersey. So I go to the harbor and I see New York City. And on that walk, I met a fisherman. And I know it sounds like a story. It sounds like a very cheesy story. But I really met a fisherman, I promise. And he told me something and it didn't stick with me. It didn't click until like a couple days ago. He told me he was like, he's 65 years old. He repeats the same story every time I meet him. But one time he said one thing. He said, life is a one-day journey. And it didn't resonate until I was just walking. And I'm like, holy shit. Life is a one-day journey. Like right now, we have this podcast. We're doing this podcast. That's all I'm focused on. After this, I'll focus on the next step. I'm not focused on what's happening in the future. I'm not focused on what's happening in the past. I'm just going to enjoy this moment right now. We're going to have fun. And that is it. And as long as I keep myself in that state, I'm good. I'm chilling. I don't need anything else.
Yeah. Damn, that fisherman, that was powerful.
That's how all the stories start.
For sure. Okay, so how do you define success? How do you define happiness? Those are two things that I feel like So many people feel like that is the ultimate, you know, until they reach this, they're going to be happy. But you personally, what is success to you?
So,
and what is happiness?
For me, it's based on three things. Do you have money in your bank account enough? Because I hate the whole bullshit where people say, oh, money doesn't buy happiness. Yeah, I agree. Money doesn't buy happiness. But money gives you a specific amount of freedom. All right. Mm-hmm. And people, there was a study done that says people that make above $76,000, and it depends on like New York and like, but in general, $76,000 don't get any happier with the more money they make. All right. Because at $76,000, all your needs are met. If all your needs are met and you have more, awesome. But for me, like I said, if my needs are met, I have the right relationships around me. And honestly, I have a partner that supports me in my growth. I think for me, that's happiness. That is success. That is the definition. Because success and happiness, it doesn't stem just from money. It stems from having money, but also having a support system around you that is pushing you forward and you're actually able to grow with. If you have those two, mm-hmm. in my opinion, you are the most successful individual in the world, whether people say it or not.
Mm-hmm. Wow. what is the, I guess, best compliment you've ever received?
in terms of life or coaching?
Just like what stands out when I ask you that? What is one thing that you always remember that somebody told you about yourself? Whether it's from your clients, a friend, past lovers.
Past lovers, no compliments. I can tell you that much. I learned a lot. So the one for my client that I always get really, really gassed on, I'll be I'm super excited. I got this actually three times, and it was like, I left my therapist for you. That's huge. For me, that is the best compliment a coach can get. Best compliment. I don't care what anybody says. In my opinion, that is the best compliment. Or if one of my clients got married, but again, the therapist one, that's definitely better. And then the other one from one of my mentors, he said, you bring light to everybody you touch. And that really will stick with me forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like if I received that, I'd be like, damn, my job here is done. Okay, so this podcast is called The City Confessions. And the reason why is because I love to have guests on, share their stories, share what they're doing, what they're up to. But then I also feel like we all have like a little secret, you know, that's willing to be like shared to the public. And the difference between a secret and a confession is that I feel like a confession is something that you definitely want to get off your chest. So again, this platform is a safe place for you to share whatever you want to share. And it could be something silly or personal, deep, whatever, however you perceive this. But if you were to complete the sentence of my confession is, what would that be?
the pressure.
No, there's no pressure. People think that I'm here to judge. Like, there is literally, like, they're like, I need to come up with a good confession. I'm like, no, there are no rules.
That's what they all say.
I know, like, secretly, like, taking notes right now.
Imagine. Well, this is actually one of my it's like a guilty pleasure, but like it actually is one of the I'm very, very logical, but okay. But all right, there's this website that I it's like I'm a very, very big believer in numerology, and I make life decisions based on that website. Which is a secret that I haven't told anybody.
I'm so honored.
I honestly, that website by far has literally changed the whole course of my life. And it sounds crazy because it's like this man really just jumped in and just But the thing is, I found the website at a place of when I was in a really, really dark place. And it helped me get to the place that I'm in right now. So I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah.
So
no, I hear certain things. Like, yeah, if you see the number 777 or
a little more than that, but like
I know. I'm saying
I'm out here looking at numbers like, oh my god, I found cool. I'm gonna find my love.
Yeah, 11-11, make a wish, you know, like those are the only ones that I know. But no, it's really interesting. I don't know. I just find you so fascinating, and I'm like really excited to get to know you more. Just like, I feel like as a friend, and just like off the podcast. But I want to take a moment right now, just to acknowledge you, your presence, your energy, showing up, and saying yes to being on my podcast. What I've learned from the year and a half of doing this is that time is so valuable. And I never take it for granted. I think you scheduling me in is like a gift. When two people say yes to something, that's like magic, right? Whether or not it's as basic as talking virtually for a podcast recording. So, yeah, I mean, I really do appreciate you coming on again and showing up 100%. You know, going back to what you were saying, that you're in the moment, you know, and I am as well. So I really, really do appreciate that. And I'm sure my listeners, they really enjoy this episode. Yeah, so thank you for that.
No, and thank you for having me. Honestly, like I said, it goes both ways. The appreciation and gratitude you're showing is so mutual. You know, I appreciate you for having me on. For you taking time as well and bringing me on and having me provide and spread my message to the world, you know? So thank you for that.
Yeah, and speaking of your message, this is your chance now to plug in everything. I am going to leave your links and information in the show notes, but are you working on anything, any secret projects you can share? What can the listeners and the world be on the lookout from you within the next 3 months, within the next year? What can you share?
So it's interesting you say that because I was mainly focused on men for a long time. And I've worked with women in the past, but I never actually just focused on women. And last month, I actually just created my first 8-week blueprint program for women. And it's basically, it's interesting because women usually fall for men that are unpredictable. If she feels like the man is predictable, she immediately is unattracted to him. So, but the thing is, women also fall for the man that's unpredictable. So what in this course, what I teach is I teach women how to be unpredictable to the unpredictable and basically find their love and their true love and their true power and come back to their higher self. So it's my new 8-week course program, and it should be coming out soon in the next month or so. So again, follow me on Instagram, Imad Speaks, or imadjabbar.com to get more information. And from there, we'll go. We'll see if you fit.
Amazing. And one last question, because I'm sure people are wondering.
What's up?
Are you single?
Yes, I am single.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I think this is definitely one of my favorites, even though I shouldn't say that. But, you know, it is what it is. Thank you so much, Imad, for coming on. I'm going to leave all of this information, as I mentioned, the show notes. So be sure to check that out. And stay tuned for next week's episode, guys. All right. Bye.